My name is Maya Martinez. I think I'm having an allergic reaction to the weather right now. I'm gonna read these poems. A sweaty girl runs up to her friend sitting down at a picnic table across from a boy. The sweaty girl is out of breath. Her friend slowly turns her head to acknowledge her, peering at her sweaty body. The sweaty girl trying to catch her breath. She is grinning. How about we play pretend? The blonde girl with pigtails suggests. She is not the sweaty girl, but the friend on the bench. She is a cool girl. Her house has only white carpet, and her mom is always bleaching her teeth. She asks the sweaty girl to be a chair. The sweaty girl gets on all fours and flexes her back to be hard. Her knees pressing into the mulch and the palms of her hands splintering. You are a good chair, the blonde girl giggles. You are so sturdy and comfy. She wiggles her hips. The boy standing across from them grins too. Sit on her and see how comfy she is, the girl shouts to the boy. The boy follows and sits on the sweaty girl's back. This chair is so relaxing, he laughs. The sweaty girl tries to laugh too, being careful of her breathing as to not be a bad chair. The boy gets off of her and she stands up, brushing the mulch from her knees. Her face is red. She lets her back relax. The blonde girl grabs her by the wrists and brings her to a secluded area of the playground, away from the boy. She holds her wrists firmly and asks the sweaty girl, "Do you love me?" The girl answers, "Yes." "Say that you love me. I love you. Now kiss me on the cheek." Her small finger points to the fat on her face. The girl who was the chair leans in with wet lips and kisses her white cheek. "I love you," she repeats. This one is about wanting to be a really good mom and have a baby. Oprah Winfrey singles me out of the crowd and asks me to approach the stage. She says, "You, it has always been you." And I think, at least Oprah thinks I'm special. I sit on her couch in front of the audience. I look out and see a bunch of smiling faces. She asks me questions about my powerful journey. She asks me what my life is like now, after everything. I say to her in the audience of smiling moms, "Everything is much better than it ever was. I wake up every morning and thank the Lord for my life. I have 3 beautiful children and a loving husband. The sex never gets old, and my kids are the light of my life." Oprah asked me how I know I wanted this. Oprah asked me about when I first thought about it. "Well, in high school, my friend got pregnant, and all I could think was, wow, now she gets to have something that will love her forever. She gets to have someone who will always need her. That is when I knew I wanted to be like this." Oprah tells me she is glad I said that. Oprah says, "Well, for all your hard work and devotion, we wanted to give you a present." Music starts playing and gets progressively louder. I tear up as Oprah shouts, "We got you a brand new car!" The women in the crowd cheer for me. Everyone is applauding this. Oprah tells me that I am such a good mother, a role model to parents everywhere. She tells me I worked so hard and that I deserved this. I hug Oprah, my wet face staining her tasteful sweater. "Thank you so much, Oprah Winfrey. God bless you." I cast Adam Sandler as my yeast infection in the play. He reads a monologue. He is a method actor, being my sweaty cunt. Throughout the movie, he realizes his flaws and is there for me. He makes me waffles and helps me study for my big test. He comes to my baseball game and my recital and my high school graduation. "It is okay, Adam Sandler. I know you are a busy guy, always wearing off-brand golf attire." A mold of Adam Sandler made of packaged oysters. Adam Sandler is casted as a sea cucumber, always shitting when he eats. Nothing can stay in him. Adam Sandler uses the emoji wearing sunglasses and texts me, "You would like to think you're Carrie, but really you're Charlotte." Okay, this one's about Tina Fey. Tina Fey pours salt onto the slugs and whispers maniacally, "Hehehehe." I ask Tina why she does this, and she responds, "For fun, I like to watch the slugs squirm." I never thought of Tina Fey as a sadist, but here she is watching the tiny things die by her hand. Tina Fey and I are decidedly bored. There isn't much to do in Central Florida. We decide to go to the outlet mall. Tina drives us there and smacks her gum loudly. I think, what a slob Tina Fey is. She is my friend, and I love her. But more importantly, I want Tina to get me into trouble. I want Tina Fey to get me into a K-hole and leave me to die while she gets finger-fucked in the next room. I want Tina Fey to take a Polaroid of me peeking on the floor and call it art. When we get to the outdoor outlet mall, Tina insists on getting those giant salty pretzels. I think, couldn't hurt. We both are wearing flip-flops, and the sound they make slapping between our feet and the floor lets everyone know we are open for business. At the mall, we see a kid who goes to our school. He is tall and lanky. His face is covered in pimples, but he is cute enough. I think he is gentle enough to fuck. Tina speaks out, "Hey, come here," to the boy. He takes out his headphones and walks over. He looks like he probably listens to the Red Hot Chili Peppers and thinks Fight Club is the most inspiring and honest movie ever. I think I am young enough for this to be forgivable. Tina Fey watches him come over. She is still smacking that loud-ass gum of hers. She whispers something into his ears as I stand by. She grabs my hand and leads me into the near restroom. The stalls are baby blue, and the boy follows us in. We all crowd into the handicapped stall. Tina tells me to turn around and face the wall. Tina Fey pulls down my panties from under my skirt and starts fingering me. The boy stands in the corner of the stall, watching us. He doesn't say anything. I am getting sweaty and I start moaning. Tina keeps playing with my clit and lets out a giggle. I think about Tina's nails in me, and when the last time she got them done might be. I try to remember if she has acrylics on right now. I try to feel them from the inside. I make a note to ask Tina what is under her nails when she is done. Maybe pink slugs live in me and she is getting them out. Maybe she will put salt on those slugs too. I can smell my own sweat when I come. Tina remarks, "Finally." We are on the highway, and it is 2 a.m., and the air is cold. I ask if that is weed, but he responds, "No." I respond, "So you like for real vape?" She likes Bacardi, she likes to party. What if slugs are sadists? She likes Bacardi, she likes to party. Imagine one slug whipping another slug and laughing. She likes Bacardi, she likes to party. The slug fucks the other slug in the ass using butter as lube. She likes Bacardi, she likes to party. Okay, this is the first time I wrote about Natalie Portman and me. Natalie Portman didn't mean to get chlamydia, but she did. I did too, but I wanted to get it. It was part of my art practice at the time, getting infested and then getting clean. The process of being open and wide, she didn't mean to get it. She kept saying that. We sat across from each other at the Planned Parenthood. She smelled bad, so everyone knew she had chlamydia. People can be too king sometimes. Natalie was embarrassed because she always looks very clean, like her mother just combed her hair, always wearing pink like she didn't know she could be dirty. I envy girls who have hair that falls next to their face attractively, like they didn't try. Sorority hair, as Elliot would call it. Looks like she stole it from a pretty horse. I felt bad for Natalie, though. She didn't deserve to get chlamydia. No one deserves that, no matter how beautiful the horse hair they stole. I wanted to eat her chlamydia away. I wanted to get on my knees and really just get in there with my mouth, suck all the infestation out. I imagined that maybe after I would look and see a small cartoon clam, like all purple and maybe pink on the inside. None of this happened, though. We just sat in the Planned Parenthood, anxiously jiggling our knees, getting a headache from all the stale air. All I'm saying is, when Natalie Portman cries, I cry. I am actually taking biotin so that my nipple hair grows long and thick, I say to myself as I shave my nipple hairs in the shower, so that customers don't see my nipple hairs when I shove my tits in their face. I tweet about a fly trying to escape out the window. It has been doing this for what seems like hours now. It isn't smart enough to figure out that it won't get out. The worst thing you can do when you're high is go through your ex's tagged Instagram photos and forget you had a pizza in the oven until the fire alarm goes off. Do minions feel pain? Could a minion be a masochist? Minion infers the story of Minion. In the Minion movie, a scene plays out where the minions are supposed to be getting tortured, stretched, beaten, whipped, but all they do is giggle. I serve Natalie Portman a slice of cake I had made earlier that day. It is strawberry flavored with purple icing and red words that say, "Dead angel cry." It looks like blood, and I think about the last time Natalie had a period. She likes to wear pads and cotton underwear. Natalie eats the cake, and I watch her putting forkfuls of it into her mouth. I think about mouth sores. I ask Natalie if under those perfect lips are mouth sores. She says, "No, why are you asking me that?" And I tell her I've been thinking a lot about the mucus that lies in our skin and that swells up. What if people kissed by putting their faces side by side and rubbing cheeks? Natalie finishes her piece of cake and turns to me. She says, "Maya, I really think you need to start growing up. You can't just text people when you're drunk saying you don't care about me and expect them to rush over to you. That isn't how the world works, Maya. And are you going to be a stripper forever, Maya? I could see you working at a nonprofit or something, but when are you going to grow up?" I know Natalie means well by this. I sit on the floor of her one room. She has wooden floors. "Well, Natalie, I think I have a cyst forming between my earlobe and skull." Natalie just keeps staring at me angrily. I don't know what to do here, how to make her happy. I offer her more cake. She looks at me and says, "You aren't always going to be able to focus on the poetics of things, Maya. You never see 40-year-olds taking crying selfies, Maya." I pull down my lower lip and show Natalie a row of mouth sores. I ask her to smell them for me. I ask her to maybe take a picture of them for me so I can inspect them. She tells me, "Soon it won't be so cute for you to act like a child," and walks into the other room. Okay, I'm going to read one more. I turn to the man and say, "If vegans are so helpful, then who was picking their tomatoes? I've got sweaty chicken legs. I've got some sweaty bodies. At Texas Roadhouse, Alyssa said I had rat's hair and a flat chest. She slaps me when I tell her she will never leave this place. She slaps me and a cookie cake says, 'We'll miss you.' I think when I come back in a second life, I would like to be the French tips on a frigid bitch. I would like to fuck you in the ass with my French tips. You are so ugly that I repeatedly pick a scab where an ingrown hair used to be. It bleeds and a little bit of pus comes out. It looks like you. Compare my body to a speckled egg and I'll say same."